shot of white blood from her eye and chuckled.
Dibbons climbing all over us, all set of a physicking away at us, wrapping rugs round our laps in winter.
Bragoon caught a ferris in the throat with his spear.
Might be even worse. They could have sent us back to Abbey School. We'd have Sister Portula teaching us to read and write and figure. No, that ain't for us, pal.
The ageing squirrel caught sight of Carinjule advancing.
Oh, look out, Bragg. Here comes the big ugly mug. We'd better start backing off. Blood and fur. Look at the size of that monster. He must have ate some dinners with that fork.
The vermin advanced on them as they retreated. Sorely wounded and drained of strength, the two old friends continued to hack and slash, vastly outnumbered by their adversaries, and knowing that they would be beaten and captured by Carinjule. They crawled down from the long bridge with one last desperate plan in mind. The Wearit pressed forward, holding his lethal trident ready as he taunted his victims.
The Lord of Life and Death will keep you alive. I will make your dying long and slow. Your companions escaped the Wearit. But you shall pay for them.
Bragoon and Sarabando were not listening. Between them, they had jammed a half dozen spear butts under the end of the tree trunk. With a last mighty effort, both beasts put their shoulders to the spears, using them as levers. Saro gritted her teeth and growled.
One, two, three, push!
The long trunk moved askew with the grating of wood on rock. Panic ensued out on the tree trunk as vermin tried to run back to the other side. Some threw themselves flat and clung on. Bragoon yelled above the din of wails and screams.
She's moving, mate! Again! One, two, three, push!
Carinjule dropped his trident. Crouching low, he gripped the tree trunk, trying to move forward and reach his enemy. At last, the mighty trunk of the tree, once called Lord of Mossflower, groaned like a living thing as it made a half turn to one side and slid over the brink of the ledge. With the effort of their final push, the two old warriors had fallen flat. They watched as the logs seemed to hang for a split second in space, with Carinjule's face looming in front of them. Then the whole trunk fell into the bottomless abyss. Screeches and shrieks rent the night air, swiftly fading to echoes. Down, down into the dark gorges all plunged. The Wearit, his vermin army, and the only solid bridge that had ever spanned the awesome space. Bragoon and Saro lay there, staring down into the void, their paws clasped. The aging squirrel closed their eyes.
Nice and peaceful here now, mate, isn't it?
The otter gave a paw a faint squeeze.
Aye, restful you might say. Summer's a good time to lay down and rest.
No longer able to keep them open, Bragoon slowly closed his eyes.
Saro, you recall what it said on that gravestone at Loamhedge? Young Fenner read it out to us. I said I liked the sound of it.
Saro nodded weakly.
I remember, mate. It said, "Gaunt to the sunny slopes and quiet streams." I liked it too.
The otter's voice grew fainter as he repeated the phrase.
The sunny slopes and quiet streams. I'll wait for you there, Sarabando. Wouldn't go any place without you.
His paw went limp in the squirrel's failing grasp. She smiled.
Wait for me, Bragg, old mate. I'll be there.
Two old warriors who had left Redwall Abbey when they were Dibbons, paw in paw, lay on the rock ledge together. They never saw the sunrise that dawn, but they went on to the land of sunny slopes and quiet streams, still holding pause.